Everyone loves shopping online. Well, I'm going to tell you what I tell my golf buddies when they buy clubs. Stop searching for coupon codes. Download Capital One Shopping to your computer. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Plus, it's free, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. That's like hitting a hole-in-one without even trying. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. If you folks out there that are on the computers, that have computers, and you want to know how you can listen to old programs where you can go on the computer, because we're being carried by different carriers out there to listen to my Sunday sermons, just go up to WRWL.org, and all that information's up there. Now, Joe, here, county prosecutor, Rabbi Weiss is charged for attempted solicitation of a minor. This is local right here. Rabbi Weiss, senior rabbi of B'nai Jeshurun congregation in Pepper Pike, was arrested April 18th after allegedly engaging in explicit online conversations with an undercover investigator posing as a 15-year-old boy. According to the criminal complaint from Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office, the 60-year-old Pepper Pike resident traveled to a prearranged location in Newburgh Heights to allegedly engage in sexual activity with a purported child after communicating on a social network app. He was arrested on the scene by law enforcement officers with the Ohio Internet Crime Against Children Task Force. According to the prosecutor's office, the vehicle he was driving was searched by law enforcement officers and found boxes of condoms and two bottles of lubricant. Weiss was charged with one account of attempted unlawful sexual conduct with a minor, and one account of importunity. And one importuning and one account of possessing criminal tools, according to the prosecutor's office. Court records show Weiss has posted a $50,000 bond April 19. According to the court document, as a condition of his jail release, he's required to wear a GPS standard monitoring device. B'nai Jeshurun is holding a meeting on evening of April 19 to discuss the matter, sources told the Cleveland Jewish News. Now, I just read to you what was in the paper. This come out of the paper now. And we know nowadays that we quite often can't believe all we read in the media. And we also know that nowadays, unfortunately, prosecutors don't have the integrity that they once have. So that's what was reported. And we'll let you folks make up your mind whether you believe it or not. Now, here, woke professor, pedophiles are innocent kids to blame for teasing him, okay? This is one of the woke professors. Here's an article, Joe. He says, a far-left woke professor has sparked outrage by claiming that pedophiles are innocent and are not to blame for raping children because young kids are teasing and provoking them. Okay.
Yeah, right. By just being themselves. Pastor, for so many years, I've got on the computer there for a while, I started collecting stories in the student-teacher sex where men teachers were not just going after little girls but little boys. The women teacher were going after little girls as well as little boys. And it was just like there were sometimes two, three a week stories somewhere in the public school system of this stuff. We've done stories in Florida where their task force are going after these pedophiles, and it's happening all over this country. It's just like the whole country has gone mad, or the truth is coming out, but it seems like it's just getting worse by the day. More and more people are being attracted to the children, and it just seems there are more and more pedophiles everywhere we look.
Well, there's a rush towards Sodom and Gomorrah. the entire Democratic Party, the entire collective, the DNC, is ripe with pedophiles. I mean, within the party today, now, everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, they're embracing. It's the popular thing, and they do it in lockstep. Like, if enough of us do it, then it's got to be okay.
Okay, now, right. They're trying to lower the age of consent, and every time I see a bill to lower age of consent, it's always the Democrat Party.
Now, listen to this. Professor David Finkelhor, boy, that's a good name for him.
Wow.
From the University of New Hampshire, claims that pedophiles are not predatory because children are often to blame for the relationship with adults. Boy, listen to that. And he goes on to say,
if you believe that, I've got some farmland down there in southern Florida in the middle of the Everglades that you can have real cheap.
He goes on to say, Professor Finkelhor claims that pedophiles are not predatory, are criminally inclined, and claims that that these children are responsible for getting raped because they are allowing themselves to be seduced by adults with flattery. Finkelhor, who disturbingly is the director of the Crimes Against Children Research Center, says he believes it is not effective to presume that a pedophile relationship is initiated by the adult. Well, you know, you have to, I would probably say that this guy, they should, maybe they should run him for the Department of Justice. I mean, these are the kind of people that they're running nowadays, the Democratic Communist Party.
To me, he's one of those people that ought to undergo that shock therapy they used to do for the mentally insane. That sounds just so totally wacko. Who in this world, other than a sick pervert, would even consider that logic? It's insanity.
I'll tell you exactly. Nancy Pelosi would consider that. I heard her. You heard her yourself.
Self, yeah.
Yeah, the professor made these shocking remarks during a panel discussion titled Sex Crimes Against Juveniles Involving Elements of Voluntary Participation, Implications for Prevention and Response. During the discussion, Finkelhor was caught on camera boasting that children are the ones that usually initiate sexual activity with adults. That guy is not only insane, he's a stone liar, too.
Yeah. Well, Pelosi was pushing for that stamp, postage stamp for the federal letters, for that one California guy that was a sodomite that kind of started the whole mess. I wish I could think of his name, having a senior moment. But they're want to teach him, teaching about him in schools, and he had all these young boy lovers, and I wish I could remember his name, but she wanted a postage stamp made in his honor. Harvey Milk. And he was a predator, he was a sodomite, and they treat him like he was a hero in the movement. He was somebody we need to teach all our children in school about, Harvey Milk. It's just pathetic.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to, here in just a second, we're going to play a clip. And this clip that we're going to play is going to be talking about what you're talking about now. And it's the elite human trafficking pedophile politicians. And let's go ahead and take it away, Mighty Andrew.
As it pertains to the elite, and the apparent operations they construct, and their ostensible ability to evade prosecution, I'm impressed. How have they become so powerful? Or perhaps a better question, how did they become so evil? Is power, by its very nature, a requisite to malevolence? I'm not sure. I am sure, however, that when it comes to human trafficking, it's not, as it pertains to America, for example, about Democrat versus Republican, but good versus evil. Too often, those of us closest to this subject matter conflate its findings with an interpretation of partisanship. This is a problem, because it jeopardizes our ability to transcend the political and unify under a single banner with the intent to help those who most desperately need it. The following video will be an attempt to prove this point. I'll start with a question. In America, what is the punishment for producing child pornography? Is it 2 years in jail? 5 years? 10 years? The minimum sentence for first-time offenders producing child pornography is 15 years in prison, according to the DOJ. But apparently, if you're a prominent politician, laws protecting children are optional. Republican Congressman Robert Bowman, for the stated crime of having sex with a 16-year-old boy, his charges were dropped after completing a, quote, treatment program. Republican Councilman Keola Childs pled guilty to child molestation, spent 1 year in jail, spread across 12 years, serving 30 days whenever he wanted, each year. Republican campaign consultant and activist Tom Shortridge, for the crime of not just having but producing child pornography, he received 3 years probation. Republican elections director Kevin Cohn, for the crime of soliciting a 14-year-old girl over the internet, he received 2 years probation. Republican city councilman Fred C. Smeltzer, Jr., for the crime of raping a 15-year-old girl, he was released after 6 months in prison. Republican judge Mark Pazuhanik pled no contest to sexually molesting his 10-year-old daughter. He was given 10 years probation. Republican Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert pled guilty to child molestation. Prior to his conviction, Hastert said child molesters should, quote, be put in jail for the rest of their lives. And the judge presiding over Hastert said, quote, nothing is more stunning than having serial child molester and Speaker of the House in the same sentence. Hastert was released from jail after 13 months. Republican Representative Jem Noblack. His daughter claimed he molested her between the ages of 9 and 21. He gave his resignation, and there was no further consequence. Democratic Congressman Fred Richmond, for the crime of soliciting sex from a 16-year-old boy, he was never charged, and after he said he was sorry, he actually won re-election. Democratic Governor Neil Goldschmidt admitted to raping a 13-year-old girl, and the charges were dropped. Democratic Mayor Gary Becker, for the crime of child molestation, possession, and distribution of child pornography, he was released from jail after 3 years. Democratic Mayor Ed Murray, accused by 5 people, including his foster son, of ongoing child sexual abuse, he was allowed to resign without further consequence. And of course, Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner, Democratic donor and activist and Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein, billionaire Democratic donor Jeffrey Epstein, Democratic aide and friend to Hillary Clinton Laura Silsby are among the pantheon of Democratic pedophiles or accused child sex traffickers, given lenient or no sentencing at all in relation to their stated crimes. It's important to remember that these were the only public officials who were actually caught, right? One wonders how many more government people are currently molesting children in secret right now.
Fresh allegations that TV icon Sir Jimmy Savile abused young girls during his career.
In a statement, the BBC said it conducted extensive searches of its files to establish whether there is any record of misconduct.
The BBC is the same organization that, according to their own investigation, knowingly allowed Jimmy Savile, one of Britain's most prolific pedophiles, to sexually abuse children. Even while rumors of his penchant for kids spread, he was knighted in 1990. And just months ago, an independent inquiry reaffirmed that several British officials, quote, actively shielded and covered up child sex abuse for decades. Here are some of the names and occupations of those with evidence of participation in or sympathies to pedophilia among the British establishment. Sir Peter Morrison, former private secretary to Margaret Thatcher. The Daily Telegraph reported allegations that Morrison raped a 14-year-old boy at Elms Guest House in London. Former child social worker Peter Wrighton, who was allowed to continue working after claims he was molesting the children. He established what the Metropolitan Police describe as, quote, a pedophile network. Former Prime Minister Sir Edward Heath, the Conservative politician, was accused of raping and, quote, indecently assaulting 5 boys. Sir Cyril Smith, former MP, abused several children for, quote, perverted amusement. Sir Clement Freud, former MP, was accused by three women of sexually abusing them when they were children. British writer Tom O'Carroll, founder of the Pedophile Information Exchange, or PI, a British-funded pedophilia advocacy group seeking to abolish the age of consent. Sir Rhodes Boyson, former MP, was yet another member of the Pedophile Information Exchange and was knighted in 1987. Sir Leon Britton, former MP, objected to a request to ban the Pedophile Information Exchange. Leon Britton was knighted in 1989. Sir Greville Janner, former MP, who in one instance posed as a carer in a children's home in order to sexually abuse a young boy. Sir Keith Joseph, former MP, according to the Sunday Mirror, Sir Keith Joseph and Sir Rhodes Boyson indulged in sex parties with underage, quote, rent boys. Sir Peter Heyman, former MP, outspoken member of PI, and of course, he was knighted in 1971. Unfortunately, with the exception of Tom O'Carroll, justice will never be served, because the allegations against these high members of British Parliament have only recently been made public, and all of the accused are now dead. The UK's most notorious address is Dolphin Square, home to MPs, senior military, royalty, spies, law enforcement, and other powerful figures. In a dossier presented to Scotland Yard, one victim, named Nick, said he'd be taken there in a chauffeur-driven car and abused by a group of men during parties, saying at one point he witnessed a boy being strangled to death by a Conservative member of Parliament. A similar dossier was given to Margaret Thatcher in 1999. She never mentioned it. I encourage you to share this video with skeptics of this topic. They can vet the information and discover that it's all true. I want these people to know what's going on. The culmination of my research into elite human trafficking has convinced me, without question, that pedophiles, in large part, manage, own, and run the world. And to think otherwise is misguided. For example, not all sex offenders are pedophiles, right? But it's still true that the majority have committed sexual crimes against children. With that in mind, consider this question. How many sex offenders do you think live in your zip code? The number might surprise you. Now, scale that number up to your city, then your state, then your country, and the number jumps to over 800,000, and this is only in America, and only the offenders who were caught. Forensic psychologist Dr. Michael Cito, an author of Pedophilia and Sexually Offending Against Children, put the prevalence of pedophilia in the general population around 1%. Even if we were to cut that figure in half, 0.5% of the human population is roughly 40 million people. So according to Dr. Cito's research, it's not a conspiracy that among our leaders are pedophiles, but a statistical certainty. Similar to the nepotism and Freemasonry, pedophiles in positions of power would almost certainly have an interest in protecting themselves by recruiting those with similar pensions. Psychologist Dr. Knapp wrote, "The serial killer has the same personality characteristics as the sex offender against children. If psychopathy is a trait of pedophiles, then it follows that among any group of them would exist an approval of and desire for child sex trafficking. But without the means to carry out such an operation, most pedophiles have to facilitate their malevolence online, the content of which is becoming progressively depraved, substantiating the notion that pedophiles do share correlative defects with psychopaths." So when analyzing the world's elite class, the statistical average for the presence of pedophiles in society doesn't suddenly go away. In fact, when factoring in the elite's accrued wealth and resources, which include royalty, intelligence officials, Masonic leaders, banking dynasties, and religious authorities, if they intended to conduct or navigate within existing enterprises of child sex trafficking, they could surely do so. Pedophiles are everywhere. And they don't suddenly disappear when they become powerful. It's up to us to ensure pedophiles stay away from children at all costs. This is why it's so upsetting that we happen to exist in a culture that gives politicians a slap on the wrist, or no punishment at all, when their depravity is revealed to the world. This has to change, If it were up to me, pedophiles would never be allowed to re-enter civilized society. But it's not up to me. Instead, I'm part of a country whose very leader continues to lay bare his apparent proclivity for small children. I'm not sure what, if anything, can be done about this. I mean, what do we do? I don't know. But I'm not going to stop going after them, in the hopes that someday justice will be done.
So you said you went to break up the relationship, and yet you stayed at that New York mansion several days. I'm wondering how long...
But I was doing a number of other things while I was there.
But you were staying at the house of a convicted sex offender.
All righty, you know, they kind of left that out with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton.
Clinton, that got left out.
What about...
It made me think of that story I did about the metaverse there, and the that investigation I forgot to mention came from the Daily Mail Online, the London paper, and it was Channel 4 in London, but it was still Mark Zuckerberg's 3D community on the metaverse, and... I was kind of reading that as I listened to the tape of the story, and I'm thinking it sounds like it's gotten way worse on this online with this metaverse. Even children playing sexual games using avatars. It's just become a phenomenon, really.
Well, we're going to go ahead.
The more it's exposed, the more children are drawn in and attracted, and the more adults are attracted, and it's kind of like when they did the sex change in the schools. We'd never really heard about it, but it became cool, became promoted. And we did a story where in one school, one young girl decided she wanted to be a boy, and all of a sudden four or five of her girlfriends wanted to do the same thing, and it was almost like a contagion. And it almost sounds like this is becoming a sinful contagion.
Well, Joe, one of the things they talked about in... And we want to make sure everybody gets both sides of that story, and that's why we made sure that they knew that it's not just deathocrats, it's mostly deathocrats. In other words, put it this way, all of those deathocratic politicians that got caught in pedophilia, they would get voted for again, because within the Democratic Communist Party, that's not really a big deal for them, so... Pedophilia is accepted for the most part within the Democratic Party. They remember they have. Well, let's take a look at the Clintons. Hillary Clinton, up to her eyeballs in this. Epstein's Island. Not only did she go to Epstein's Island, but she went to his ranch out there in New Mexico too.
Yeah, and Bill went many times, and they tried to cover that up, but the pilot reports disagree greatly. They said something like 40 times, and Clinton said, oh, I went there once or something. And
we sent out the newsletter, too, and were them at Epstein's Island where they were, a group of men were standing there in the water, and guess who was with them? Judge Roberts happened to be one of those there with him. Now, here's an article right here. Larry Nassar's victims and survivors sue Chris Wray, the FBI, for $130 million. FBI Director Chris Wray and the DOG Inspector General Michael Horowitz testified in September on 2021 before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the FBI's handling of the Larry Nassar investigation. Larry Nassar was the team doctor for the U.S. women's gymnastics team and was sentenced to 60 years in federal prison on child pornography. And the only reason for that is because the parents of these girls would not shut up, because Chris Wray didn't want he didn't want to even investigate this. During a testimony on Wednesday, IG Horowitz confirmed to the U.S. Senate committee that the FBI officials deliberately misled the facts during the investigation. They do what they're told by those within the Democratic Collective. The lead FBI investigator misrepresented the actions as he took when the allegations came down and his job-seeking efforts with the U.S. Olympic Committee. Horowitz, he was another one, I believe, that was also seen at Epstein's Island, but I believe he denies it. Horowitz said the allegations were handed over to prosecutors in the Justice Department. We don't have a Justice Department. The DOJ refused to press charges against the dirty FBI official.
Yeah, they protect the deep state. I've got a huge stack. I grabbed just a few pages off the top. Headlines. Operation March Sadness. Two Disney employees arrested in human trafficking sting with children. 11 April, California teacher arrested for molesting, allegedly, 7 students. April 1, California trans child molester Hannah Tubbs accused of attacking 4-year-old girl. And on it goes. And then, get this, when you were talking about Democrats, major U.S. city trying to attract taxpayers by promising to teach their children sex ed. New York City's mayor launched a campaign to convince people to return from Florida to the Big Apple, which we call the rotting apple, to live here, buy property, pay taxes, by promising to teach their kids about sex in the public school system.
Well, you know,
this was just off the top. I randomly, in a stack, grabbed about 10 things, and out of 10, those are the 4 I grabbed, stories I looked at.
Well, for the most part, Joe, a Republican politician get caught doing that, he's finished in politics. But that's not the case for the Democrats. The Democrats can, and sometimes that adds because of the mindset.
Sometimes
amongst
they get promoted. We've seen especially horrendous stuff that they get caught at, and the next thing they're promoted.
Yeah, and so we're going to open the phone lines to take some calls. The phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. And one more article, Joe, here. Fully vaccinated, nearly 3 times more likely to die of COVID-19 than the unvaccinated, as vaccine effectiveness against death falls to -166%. Now, here, again, I want to tell people, we're bringing you what the Joe Obama regime is trying to hide from you. It goes here. Official data published by the UK Health Security Agency confirms COVID-19 vaccine's effectiveness against death has fallen to a -121% among 40 to 49-year-olds and a -166% among those aged 80 and over. All other groups have also suffered a significant drop in vaccine effectiveness, with figures showing all double vaccine adults are more likely to die of COVID-19 than any of the unvaccinated adults.
Yep, and I've got a report where they had 21% of the deaths reported to VAERS after COVID shots occurred within 48 hours. The CDC came up, released data, showed about 1.2-something million reports of adverse events about the vaccine. So listen, this was between December 2020 and April 15, 2022, almost 1,250,000 reports. And it was talking about, of all the deaths, 12,566 that were reported, 16% occurred within 24 hours of vaccination. Another 21% occurred within 48 hours of vaccination. And it's really interesting because we've talked about it. The VAERS only runs anywhere from 1 to 10% of all of the things that happen get reported. So you could multiply that 12,566 by a factor of, 5 times or 10 times, and you're going to get closer to the truth. So more than one source is backing up everything we say.
Yeah, we keep telling you, and it keeps coming out more and more. Yet the fake news media continues to run interference for Big Pharma, and you can see why. All you got to have to look at who's advertising. They're owned, they're bought and paid for. And the fake news media will betray you in a heartbeat. They'll look you right in the eye. You'll be watching them, and they will look to you, and they will lie to you, knowing all along that they're lying. They know it.
This report came from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, released on 22 April, And it was information, according to the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Reporting Event Reporting System. I mean, we can't make it up. The government said so, not, you know, Pastor Joe.
Okay, we'll be back right after this. We're going to a break, and then we'll take your calls at 888-677-9673.
Gordon Call was right when he made his famous stand. Heaven knows there was a man who fought the righteous fight till the wrong arm of the law gunned him down in Arkansas. He would not pay one dime of tribute to the IRS, and for his disobedience they planned his fiery death. Shed before, and though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door. 'Cause all is fair in love and war. ...5:45 p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door. 'Cause all is fair in love and war. When all was said and done, and the verdict's handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free. Through faith we shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door. 'Cause all is fair in love and war.
All righty, we are back, and this isn't Pledge Week, but even so, I want to thank, we just had Gene Dickinson from San Antonio just called and pledged $50. It must have been something we said on the program tonight, huh, Joe?
Yeah, or they just couldn't get through during Pledge Week. But anyway, we thank you. We'll take a pledge anytime we get one.
Yeah, we certainly will. We
We've never been so far ahead we've ever been comfortable. Let's put it that way. I don't think I've ever talked to you about finances or bills to pay. We've never been in really what you would call comfortable. It's always the Lord covers us when we need it the most.
Well, yeah, I've come to the conclusion I'm never going to get rich doing this. I just, you know, I've given up on my Lear jets. You know, I just can't do it like those prosperity preachers do. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe Joe Osteen will give me one of his someday, huh?
I'd just like the interest off of what he has in the bank. I'd be happy.
Yep. Anyhow, let's take some. Thank you out there, Gene. And let's go to, well, we have our other co-host who often beats us here, and that is Clifford. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. Just on the vaccine, about within the last 2 weeks, there was an article on LifeSiteNews.com. They said Pfizer has 1,200 people answering the phones about adverse effects, and they hired an additional 600. So they know, so that makes it 1,800 just to answer the phones about the bad effects. So in the meantime, they're putting up ads, you know, on the radio saying, oh, safe. So.
Yeah, I know that, and not only that, but they've got the fake news media, no matter what the lie is, and that includes Fox News. Brett Baer will look you dead in the eye in that camera, and he will lie, and their people are dropping dead left and right. All you have to do, call your local funeral home and ask them if they've been busy lately. And
Yeah, let me just ask about a quick first, because I'm starting to study Zechariah on my own, not with a Bible study. But let me just ask you about 3:9 from Zechariah, the seven eyes, and, you know, I never really studied this particular thing.
Zechariah 3:9, huh? Okay.
Right, the seven eyes, and it says he'll remove iniquity from the land in one day. Now, I just asked one person, and they said one day might not, you know, a day in the sight of the Lord doesn't mean one day. I take that as meaning one day, but then also the seven eyes thing.
Okay. But then I will turn to the people. Wait a minute. Zechariah? Oh, no.
Three,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 3:9.
I'm in Zephaniah. Okay, there you go. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They're not the same, are they? Okay. All right.
You got the angel of the Lord here, I know that. And he's the one admonishing Joshua.
Okay, so let me get over there.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, let me just read it. And I will read that. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engage in the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man and his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Well, the branch here refers to the Messiah, the meaning of the stone with seven eyes. You know, there's different opinions on that, okay? The rock, you know, there's some call it, they're just facets of one, but there's different opinions on that. But it could mean the branch himself as the foundation stone of the temple. Some believe that the rock struck by Moses that produces water for the Israelites, or it could mean the renewed spiritual priesthood of the church. These verses were all fulfilled hundreds of years later by the Lord Jesus himself. God said, I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day, and this was fulfilled by Christ, who hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, in them, and that he might bring, well, let me see, actually he might bring it to the Lord. Remember in 1 Peter 3:18 what it says. It says, you cannot remove your sins by your own effort. You must allow God to remove them through Christ. So that's what he's referring to there. That's referring to the Lord Jesus.
So it's, well, like you can't pardon yourself, basically.
Right.
Here I see something else. We're talking, it's the pre-incarnate Christ that's speaking here, the angel of the Lord. And thus says the Lord of hosts, which is the pre-incarnate Christ. If you go to Revelation 4, you see in verse 5, and out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And my notation is those seven eyes are the seven spirits of God that come with the Messiah, because he is, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, Jesus, and who would have the seven spirits of God but Christ, right?
Right. So, okay, very good.
Hey, once in a while, my brain that got damaged occasionally remembers something very clear. Other things just blocked out, but certain things just, pow, they're right there.
Well, if you go through Scripture, just about all of the, every time you use the word seven, it has to do with Christ.
Christ, right.
The number seven always has to do with Christ, or the word
so the
seven.
Seven eyes, yeah, Revelation 4, 5, you know, it's got that seven spirits.
Yep.
And then if you even go over to Isaiah 11:2, it talks about some of that.
Yep. Well, Jeremiah 31:34 and Zechariah 4:10 also refers into that. So if you look here when he says, For who hath despised the day of small things, for they will rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord.
Lord, got it.
Who,
and Isaiah,
who run to and fro through the whole earth.
Isaiah 11, it talks about, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow, Jesus, out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord.
All right, very good. Well,
so
thanks,
several
Cliff.
Several places that answers his question.
All right. Hey, Cliff, are you there?
He's gone.
Oh, we lost Cliff.
We lost him, but we answered the question well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just going to say that, Cliff, you didn't call in for Pledge Week, so I put you down for 10 grand.
For 10 grand. That'll teach you not to call in Pledge Week.
All right, there you go. All right, who else do we have there, Mighty Andrew? What? That's never happened before. Wow. Joe, right now he says there's nobody else on the line. That gives me an opportunity. Two things real quick. One, leftist judge finds the legitimate president of the United States, Donald Trump, the real president. He is the legitimate and lawful president of the United States. He finds this communist judge finds finds President Trump in contempt in his leftist DA witch hunt. A New York judge found the legitimate president of the United States, Donald Trump, in contempt of court Monday for failing to adequately respond to a subpoena issued by the state's ultra-left attorney, more than likely placed in there, bought and paid for by George Soros. Most of them are, okay, as a part of a civil investigation into his business dealings. This is a witch hunt. These are very corrupt. These are dirty cops. Very dirty cops. Very dirty. Okay. Judge Arthur Engoron ordered Trump to pay a fine of $10,000 per day. The ruling comes after. Now, this corrupt, these people that are continuously, they can't stop going after the legitimate president. As someone who this judge is not, he is not worthy to untie Donald Trump's shoestring. Donald Trump, he's not perfect, but he did what he said he would do. He didn't sell himself, and he didn't go a whoring. And so, and we saw how shameful so much of the judicial did when. That corrupt when they stole the election, and I mean they stole the election. By the way, Joe, I want to remind people. Okay, you have Joe Obama, that illegitimate man in the White House right now, the head of the Biden crime cartel, and the reason you have him there is twofold. One, remember all of those people with Biden signs in your yard. When you see them out there, don't forget to remind them. Say thank you for the high gas prices. Thank you for the food shortages. But remember,
and for the, you know, all those millions pouring across our border, invading the country, upsetting everything.
Yeah, but remember what the Bible says, that a dog returns to its vomit and a sow to her mire. You expect a heathen to act like a heathen. You expect them. Okay, but here, Trump was betrayed, and we all were betrayed, for they didn't do their job. Mike Pence did not do what he was supposed to do. When he had the opportunity to do the right thing, he couldn't find the courage to do it. Not just him, but Tom Cotton was there. He refused. He didn't stand. Those Republican senators, and even I've always liked Marsha Blackburn. I've always thought had the highest regard for her. She failed too. They did not, when they had the opportunity to do the right thing, they refused. And that's why all of these bad things are happening. They should have stood up. If the Republican Senate had stood with him and demanded, if Mike Pence had done the right thing and said, we're not going to certify this until we've investigated all of these legitimate allegations brought before this. If he had done that, we would not be in the condition we're in. America would not be heading for total ruin. And that's reality. And we have to remind these people of this. We have to remind what happens when people betray you. And the good thing is, Joe, and if you look over in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, the Lord makes it very clear, I will never leave you or betray you. I will never. So the only one that we can always depend upon, Joe, we can't always depend upon ourselves, but we can always depend upon the Lord, huh?
Amen to that.
And so, there you go.
I've got a bit of humor if we don't have a caller. I thought this just crazy. It comes from the Western Journal.
Okay, we do have a call. Who do we have there? Leslie, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Ernie and Pastor Joe. I just feel so compelled. I know your time is short, but I must call you tonight and just say thank you. Thank you, thank you for being godly men, for standing firm, for being veterans, for telling the truth, for not giving up and not quitting, for teaching and training and setting an example for all of us. I never would have known about the truth about the vax without you. I never would have been able to write an exemption letter request for COVID and the flu vaccine. I never would have been able to protect people I love without knowing the truth. And that all came from you and your clips and your news and sharing the truth. And I just appreciate you so much, and I hope everyone will really support you. And you've made a tremendous difference in my life and the people I love because you tell the truth. And I'm telling you, in this country and culture, to find a godly man who stands firm, who's honest, a man of integrity, it's not easy. And I just want to thank you with all my heart. The Lord bless you and keep you. I could give you 3 dozen scriptures. I would love to pray over you. But I pray for you and for the whole team. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I pray for your safety and protection and provision, that the Lord would put his protective hedge around you and his protective covering over you and keep you safe and healthy in his loving care.
Well, Leslie, you just made my day, I can tell you.
I have to tell you that, and I want you to remember that every day. Every day I want you to remember that.
Well, I thank you so much for those. You made my day. What state are you calling from?
I'm out on the air, but I'm feeling a little bit shy right now. So I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you so much, and I want you to take it in and remember it And walk tall, because we are so proud of you. Keep up the good work and never, never, never give up. And keep fighting the fight.
Thank you so much for those kind words. God bless you.
We can't take too much credit, because we're just being obedient to what the boss told us to do. He told Pastor Ernie to be a watchman on the wall, and he pretty much, long story short, told me to work and help support Pastor Ernie. So we're just being obedient to what we were told by the greatest authority in heaven, right?
Amen. Here's what else he told us. He told us over in Romans chapter 10, this, Joey, said here, but what saith, the word is nigh thee, even in the mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and should believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And you skip one verse that I like. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen. And so, folks, there you go. Again, the time will come when the only thing that will matter to you, and this will happen, there's no chance, none at all, that it won't. This will happen where the only thing that will matter to you is your standing with the Lord. You see, there's no in between. You're either saved or you're lost. That's it. I mean, those are your two options. You're saved or you're lost. And everybody's going to die, but I'm going to tell you, you don't want to die in your sin apart from the Lord. And you don't have to. You do not have to. He's made it very clear. The Lord Jesus did all of the heavy lifting for us. He did it all for us. Right, Joe?
Right.
And so
he paid the price.
Right. He took our place upon that cross. He was the only one that could have done that. No one else would, because it had to be a totally sinless sacrifice. It's what the Father demanded, what the Father demanded to take away the sins of the world. And here, he did it. He died a substitutionary death for you and me. And you say, well, you know, I don't quite understand that. Well, God's ways are much higher than ours, and he tells us that. And everything that he has told us in the Bible either has come to pass, is coming to pass, or will, without exception. And again, so the Lord Jesus said this. Here's what you do. You pray to the Father. You ask forgiveness of your sin. You repent. You acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. And according to God's laws, you deserve hellfire. But the Lord Jesus took your place upon that cross. But you have to acknowledge that, and you have to ask for forgiveness and ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any exceptions at all. And if you do that, then God is always true, always faithful. He will always honor that commitment. You will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You will become a new believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you'll be on your way to eternal life. You will immortality. That's God's word. You've got God's word on. Until tomorrow, we're out of time. So, until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it, Joe. Keep fighting. The fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.